Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. What is mine? What is mine? If I can draw your attention to those verses we just finished reading, in which Laban answers Jacob, man, the women are my daughters and the children are my children and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters that are mine and about the children they have born? All you see is mine. What a statement. All you see is mine. The word mine. What is mine? All you see is mine. Everything in front of you is mine. That word mine. What a word for us to think about today. The word mine. A few years ago, more than 10 years ago, my daughter in her pottery class made this plate for me. I'm gonna hold it up. Oh, that's good. I don't even know what angle that is. If you can see on the plate, it says mine. She made a plate in pottery class and she scratched mine in it. Mine. She came home, was in high school. She came home and gave this plate to me. She said, Dad, this is your plate. I made this plate for you and I scratched mine in it. And I thought to myself, quite interesting that someone who's very first words were mine is now giving me a plate scratched with the word mine in it because she's hearing me say mine so much that she's thinking to herself, let me make this guy something that signals that it's his, because I had other people eating my stuff. I don't know if you have ever been in a house with people that just eat your food and eat your stuff. You bring stuff home and you have your things, and before you know it, it's gone. You write your name on it and it's gone. And so I guess my daughter was hearing me say mine so much, she said, I'm gonna make this man a plate and I'm gonna give it to him, and from now on he can put this on the counter and he can put stuff on it that says mine. I thought, isn't that interesting? Since if you've ever been around a toddler, one of the first words they start saying to you is mine. The way Kayla used to say it was mine, almost like a question, like mine, mine, mine. Can barely talk. Mine, is this mine? No, that's my remote. Mine. Or you can be around one of these little boy toddlers. I don't know if you've ever been around one of these. I was around one the other day. Can't barely talk, can't barely move, and speaking mine with authority. Mine. Mine. And you're like, no, that's not yours. Mine. And you got to wrestle it back from him. It's not yours. Mine. And you want to knock him across the room. Mine. Because something on the inside of him, I know it, maybe it bothered you, but I don't know, for me, when I heard it, something on the inside of me said, oh God, what is mine? What belongs to me? What is it that you have for me? Lord, give me a plate. Scratch my name in something so I can say, that belongs to me. That's mine. That may be yours, but this is mine. What's yours is yours, and what is mine, and I don't want nothing that belongs to anybody but me. I'm not jealous of nobody. I need a witness in the room. I need a witness around the world. I ain't jealous of nobody. I'm not hating on anybody, because if it's for me, and if God has it for me, and if he has destined it for me, what is mine is for me, and can't no demon take what belongs to me. What is mine is mine. Title of my sermon last Sunday, what is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. It's God saying, what is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. It's a unique statement, because most of the time, what is mine is mine, and what is yours for all of you in this room, for almost everybody in here. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. That's your daughter, bruh. She's beautiful, but what's mine is mine. I got a fine daughter too. What wine's is mine, and what's yours is yours. That's your child. You ever been on a plane with a child, and as soon as they bring them on, and you're thinking, oh, Lord, Jesus, help them be quiet, Jesus, because I don't want to be on this plane with a crying baby. At that moment, I think all babies should not be allowed to fly except for mine. Because I have a patience for mine. I may not have the same patience for yours. What is yours is yours. What is mine, that's your teenager, that's your house, that's your husband. What's yours is yours, what's mine is mine. What is mine? I think one of the mistakes that we've made, and I'm trying to correct it, is that we were made almost to feel bad about having a mind plate, about saying, well, this victory is mine. I'd like to know what land is mine. I'd like to know what house is mine. I'd like to know what money is mine. I'd like to know what job is mine. I'd like to know what peace is mine. I'd like to know what favor is mine. Praise God for your favor, Pastor Al. But I'd like to know what favor is mine. Where is the stuff that belongs to me? Here to tell you right now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that feeling. Somebody made you feel bad about that. Somebody made you feel guilty about that. They just simply don't really understand God. One of the greatest things about this Bible, this book, is that we are here worshiping the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not pastors. When they said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they weren't saying the God of Elijah, that's a prophet. The God of David, that's a king. The God of Isaiah, that's a prophet. The God of John the Baptist, that's not what he's called. He's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of three generations of men that were about business. They didn't build no tabernacle. No, come on, let's be honest. They did not build no tabernacle. They didn't build no temple. They didn't heal nobody. Abraham killed more people than he healed. He argued for Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham was not a preacher. Abraham is looking at me right now thinking, I don't know how you did that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were men of means, men of money, men of resources, men that were trying to figure out how to get their next business deal done. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were men who were saying, what's mine? God appears to Abraham and says, I'm your shield, I'm very, your very great reward. And Abraham's response is, thank you, but I mean, what can you really do for me when I remain childless? And Eleazar of Damascus, a servant born in my household, is my heir. See, we think that if the Lord appeared to us, that we would have all this Holy Ghost stuff to say. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Yahweh. Oh, Jesus. We've been taught to almost feel guilty about asking for stuff for us. When Jacob wrestled with God, he said, now, Lord, I'll tell you what, if you watch over me, and if you bless me, and if you give me stuff, and if you make me prosperous, and if you bring me back here fat, and if you do stuff for me, I'll tell you what, hook me up, I'll give you a tenth of everything. When Jacob met God, he was like, oh, bet, let's make a deal. I don't know what anybody else is thinking about when they meet you, but since I am wrestling with the King of Kings, since I am wrestling, listen, if you have wrestled with God, you might as well wrestle him for some success in the earth. Who am I talking to? You wrestled with him enough about sin, and you might as well now wrestle with him about property, and wrestle with him about blessing, and wrestle with him about kingdom. I'm sorry, Tyrus. I think we missed the whole point of the book. The book is way more full of people that were friends of God and folk that were trying to figure out how to make it in this thing called life than it was full of prophets and folk who did everything right. As a matter of fact, almost every time a rule comes down, God blesses somebody outside of the lines. Oh, maybe I'm just preaching to myself. About every time you think you got somebody figured out and you think you got God all figured out, for anyone that's watching or in the room who thinks, well, that don't qualify for me, Pastor Andy, because I've made mistakes and I've messed up and I haven't done right and they made me feel guilty and I'm scared I'm gonna bust hell wide open. The devil is a liar. Let me tell you how God works. God causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God will bless you when you're good and God will bless you when you're a mess. I need a witness in the building to wave on me on that. I need somebody to say, oh yes, Pastor Andy, yes, Pastor. Some of my biggest blessings happened when I wasn't right. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Some of the biggest miracles happened when I was in the wrong place. And that's a part of what made me say, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because somebody told us that we didn't qualify to take everything to God in prayer. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. I don't care how grimy you have been. I don't care how wrong you have been. And if you have heard this from me, let me correct this for you right now. There is nothing you can do that will make God that mad at you. There is nothing that you can do that will ever get God off your side. What shall separate me from the love of God? Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not demons, not anything happening today, not anything to come, nothing I do tomorrow, not height, not depth, no any other thing or creature will ever be able to separate me from the love of God. That means God gonna love me when I'm a mess. God gonna love me when I'm right. God gonna love me when I'm good. God gonna love me when I'm bad. I need a witness. God gonna love me when I do right. I have found out God love me when I don't do right. God is gonna love me when I make the right decision. God gonna love me when I make the wrong decision. Don't do that. I'm trying to teach today. But before I give you this good news, let me just tell you, whoever told you that, whoever filled you with that fear that you're going to bust hell wide open, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the picture is God as a father. If you have children in this room, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Right, nice and high. Sit down, y'all, so everybody can see. If you have children in this room, raise your hand nice and high. Nice and high. Raise your hands. If you have children in this room, raise your hands. All right. If you would send your child to hell, keep your hand up. Not a one of us. As raggedy as your child is, as raggedy as my child, you may want to kill him, but you want to meet him in heaven. It does not matter. God is the judge of all the earth. That's right. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we did in this body, whether it was good or bad. The difference, though, my brother, is that when I'm in line, I'm going to be like, y'all don't even know the judge is my daddy. Y'all don't even know this is my father. Y'all don't even know, like, yeah, I was wrong. Yo, what's up? It's your son. I know I blew it. I know I messed up. I know I don't always do right. I know I got in this body and it messed me up. But can you hook me up? Anybody ever got a hookup? Anybody ever make a nod at the judge? Bible is full of businessmen. And the businessmen and men who are making money and men who are trying to make the world work and people who are trying to be successful make mistakes. Part of the reason why I want to look at this Genesis 31, and I got to move. I went around the time. But part of the reason why I'm looking at it is because this moment, quite honestly, is a business dispute. We've so overly spiritualized this passage that it doesn't really apply to real life and business anymore because we make everything Jesus, 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 Jesus. But the truth of the matter is that this is a business dispute. If you know the story, and I'll just set it up for you, Jacob runs for his life because Jacob wants the blessing. He wants the inheritance. He's the twin. He's born second. He ain't happy about it. Because one of the ways you got your money at this point was you inherited it. And the older son got a double portion. And the younger son got a third. That's where we get the idea of double portion from. Because if you had two sons, then the older son got the double portion and the second son got the lesser of the portion. And so you can just imagine Jacob, his whole life being a twin, basically thinking this wasn't even right. One little millisecond, one turn, one spin, it's just not fair. I don't know if you have ever felt like this ain't fair. I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that says, wow, it's amazing. If I had been here a minute earlier, I would have got the deal and they did not. I didn't get it because I was a minute too late, because I was the second too late, because I was born this color, because I was this gender, because of this situation or that situation. And as a result of a desire for prosperity and inheritance, he ends up tricking a blind man. Do you understand what kind of person you have to be to trick a blind man? Who am I talking to? Do you understand, elder, how low you got to be to know somebody's blind and trick them? Jacob's like, I don't care. I'll do whatever I got to do to get this business done. I don't know who I'm talking to. Man, I've got to listen. And praise God for God. Praise God for prophecy, because there was a prophecy in the beginning that the older would serve the younger. But Jacob's like, yeah, whatever. Praise God for that, whatever that prophecy stuff is. I got to do something. Me and my mom working something out. And they trick Isaac into giving the blessing to Jacob and not Esau, and Esau mad about it and is hunting for his life, and Jacob has to run away with nothing. In case you don't know the story, Jacob goes home to where his people are from, Haran. When he gets there, he goes to a well. That's where everybody gets together. Rachel comes walking out. He says, my Lord and my God, look at what the Lord has done. Rachel is so fine that he wants Rachel. But you can't get a woman back then for free. Ooh, I just need to move on that one. You can't get a woman for free back then. You got to pay to get one. You're going to have to give something to get one. They didn't just throw it all out for free. You couldn't just hook up on Tinder and get some book. If you wanted some book, if you wanted some quality book, Lord, Rachel was so fine, and you couldn't get a woman for nothing. I know that we're like, our women were traded as commodity for land and property. No doubt about it. It was a horrible system. But the other fact, the other side of it is that they were valued. They were valued. I get it now. You're free, but are you valued? They were valued. And when he saw Rachel and met Laban, Laban was like, for her, what you got? Man, you ain't got nothing. Tell you what, work for me for 7 years and you can get her. Did y'all go to Sunday school? Work for me for 7 years and I'll give you Rachel. And the Bible says that Jacob worked for 7 years, but it didn't seem like nothing. He thought Rachel was so fine, them 7 years flew right by. He thought Rachel was so bad. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you think that is so bad. I'll work for 7 years. I need to move on because there's a whole lot of us in here. Bro, would you work for 7 years? I'm not even going to look at you, John. Would you work for seven? I don't matter. Work for 7 days. I might have worked for 7 months, but would I have worked 7 years and didn't get none for the seven? I might have worked for 7 years and got some along the way, but you're trying to tell me you so bad, you so fine. I see you walking around, oh Jesus, and I'm working for you and can't taste you. Just in faith, just believing. After 7 years, the trickster got tricked. You better be careful getting too much in your flesh. You better be careful being too much in your flesh. You better be careful being too much in your own understanding, in your determination to get into business and make money, because stuff you do has a way of coming back around on you. And here's a guy who tricks a blind man and works for 7 years for Rachel, and Laban gives him Leah. Gives him Leah. Bible says Leah had weak eyes. We'll just leave that alone. Oh, Jesus. We'll just put it this way. She was not as fine as Rachel. But after 7 years of working and 7 years of hard labor, where are the men at? My God, after 7 years of waiting and believing, 7 years of enduring hardness like a good soldier. Okay, 7 years of that, he was so ready, he jumped in that tent with Leah and didn't even notice. I need a brother to wave at me. He wanted it so bad, he didn't even see them weak eyes. He wasn't looking at no eyes. He wasn't looking at no face. He got in there and said, girl, turn around. He was not thinking about nobody's eyes. Talk to me. Woke up the next morning, Leah's like, surprise. He goes to Laban. He says, what? What? Rachel's still over there just tapping. Mm-hmm. You knew that wasn't me. So he goes to Laban and says, what is this? And Laban goes, oh, yeah, my bad, man. See, we don't marry the younger without marrying the older. Had to give you the older one first. But check this. I got a deal for you. Check this. I got you. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm going to give you Rachel. I know you want Rachel. I know you gave me 7 years for her, but tell you what. I'll give you Rachel. Finish the week with Leah, and then I'll give you Rachel. Now, you're going to have to give me 7 more years for her. You won't have to wait this time. I'll let you have her, and you can have her while you work for 7 years. So he works 14 years for one woman. I'm just going to let that just sit still and just marinate for a minute. 14 years. Some of us would have been like, that's all right, bro. There's no way I'm staying here with you for enough. Some of us would have been so mad, we'd have said, what? Forget it. But no, he figures, all right, I'll work another 7 years to get Rachel. Then he works another 6 years for the cattle, and because Laban puts him in charge of the cattle. And Laban says to him, tell you what, the cattle that are speckled and the cattle that are striped, the ones that don't nobody want, that will be what you get to keep. And I'll get the ones that are all one color. I'll get the ones that everybody likes. I'll get the ones that are easier to sell. I'll get the ones that won't nobody think there's anything wrong with. I'll get the good, and you'll take that. And Jacob said, okay, and I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who has ever been in a situation in which the boss, the company, the corporation says, well, we're going to give you this. This is what you're going to get, and this is all you can get, and you're in a situation in which there is nothing you can do but take the deal. He takes the deal, but because God was on his side. Is anybody, God is on your side. But because God was on his side, God made it so that there was more speckle and more streak and more. And so even though he was left with something that he thought was less, he found out that if God gets involved, if God is on your side, if God is your friend, he'll take the crooked and make it, my God, he'll take the way that they thought they were going to get you and turn it around for your good. So all of a sudden, since Laban made the deal, I'm going to speak this over everybody. Whoever made your deal, whoever gave you that deal, whoever told you, well, this is your compensation, well, this is what your package is worth, well, this is what you're going to get, and you're going to get that, and you're going to get, tell you what, you'll get the percentage of this, and you're looking at that, and you're thinking, I can't sell nothing over there. The devil is a liar. If God is on your side, I want to speak over you that your stuff will be bigger than the company's, my God, that your stuff will be so big and so powerful and so great that you won't lead, you won't need Laban no more. I speak that over your life. I speak that over you around the world. May you be free of Laban. You showed up with nothing. You showed up broke. You showed up not knowing. You knew on the inside who you were, but you didn't really have the wherewithal to really do it. And the company took advantage of you, and they gave you stuff to do that's not in your job description. And they got you there all day, and you're working longer hours than you should. And they gave you responsibilities that are not in your title. And you asked for a raise, and they said no. And they said, they'll give you this, and they gave you the leavings, and you are dealing with a situation that you don't want to deal with, and may God himself break you out of that. May God himself bless you so much that Laban will have to let you go. Who am I preaching to in the room? Who am I preaching to around the world? I'm talking business today. I'm talking business. We don't talk church enough. We done took this Bible and made it only about church enough. Time for us to make this thing about success. Time for us to make this thing about business. Time for for us to make this thing about some money. Maybe I'm just talking to myself, but I'm like, I want this book to tell me how to deal in my Laban situation. Has anybody ever been in a Laban situation where you're sitting around thinking they have taken advantage of me? I don't even think I'm going to get to the rest of the points, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I'm going to flow in the Holy Ghost. They're taking advantage of me. Has that thought ever come to your mind? They're taking advantage of me. They're making more money off of me. As a matter of fact, I bring one deal in here, and off the one deal I bring in here, they pay me from the one deal. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're thinking, you know what? Do you know how much work I do around here? Do you know what? Actually, I am the person who is the director of this department. I don't have the title. I don't make the money, but I do the work. Who am I talking to? Maybe this is just a word specifically for somebody. They are using me. Jacob says, this is unfair. They're using me. And after 20 years, Jacob feels like the attitude of Laban has changed on him. He hears Laban's sons talking junk, saying, yeah, man, this dude came in here from foreign and has taken our father's inheritance. And he starts to feel some kind of way like, y'all used to value me, but now y'all might be planning to kill me. Y'all, oh, you thought I was so great. Oh, you promised me all this. Oh, you loved me when I first came to work here, but now y'all talking layoffs, and now y'all are figuring I'm doing something wrong, and now y'all are looking and y'all are doing investigations, and I feel like the attitude about me in this company, in this career, in this space, in this thing has changed. And he goes to God and says, God, I think I got to get up out of here. And the Lord says, get up out of there. God says, yeah, you have spent enough time. I don't know who I'm confirming this for. You have spent enough time working for Laban and you are blessed. It is time for you to get up out of there and do your own thing. I speak entrepreneurship over this entire room. I speak it over the world that will listen. It is time for you to be tired of Laban. Ain't nothing wrong with you being tired of Laban. Don't let nobody say, well, just keep humbling. Well, just keep low. And we'll just keep on being glad. Don't let that slave mentality keep you a slave forever. Don't let Harriet Tubman come to you and you say, well, Massa Anderson been real good to us and it wouldn't be all that Christianly for us to run away like that. The devil is a liar. That is a theology that was taught to keep you bound. You stay nice and humble and stay nice and low and stay a nice little good little servant and have good karma, because if you don't do your duty, then you're going to be in trouble. And so you got to do right. And now you are saddled with some kind of Christian guilt that keeps you a slave. Well, I don't want to leave, and if I do that and I take my clients, and will God be pleased, and I don't want to go to hell, and that is a lot. The devil is a liar, and you sit there and you be faithful and you be consistent and they let you go anyway. Laban ends up saying to Jacob, says to Laban, you know what? If it wasn't for God, you'd have made me leave empty-handed. Because what happens in Genesis 31 is Jacob says, you know what? This thing ain't going right. You know what? The attitude in the company has changed about me. You know what? I'm getting older. You know what? I see them bringing in all this young talent. You know what? I make more than these other people. You know what? I got to start thinking about me. If you have been taught a theology that told you not to think about you, the devil is a liar. You better get a mind plate and you better start thinking, now what is mine? What belongs to me? What exactly is mine? Because the attitude about 50-year-olds have changed in this company. All of a sudden, everybody in here is 26. Who am I preaching to this morning? Somebody comment and somebody say something. Pastor Andy, you are breaking this thing down. I know I've never preached from this pastor before. It's so much in it. Jacob says, the attitude in the company has changed, and I'm going to have to bounce without notice. I'm going to have to gather up and figure out what's mine. And I'm going to have to get myself together, figure out who are my clients, what's my money, what belongs to me, what do I really make for y'all, what is this, what is that, and I got to bounce without telling everybody. Oh, well, that's you want to be godly now, and honesty is the best policy, and you don't want the Holy Ghost mad, and you know you don't want to bust hell wide open, and you know you don't want God angry, and now you got to keep God on your side, and so what you need to do is in full disclosure, go down there and tell your bosses everything you're planning, tell them who told you that the devil is a liar. You know who does that? Who told you that? The people that want to rule you forever told you that. That's ruling class theology. They didn't get theirs that way. Jacob makes a secret plan. I don't know who I'm talking to. Jacob, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob makes a secret plan. First thing he does is he calls his women. Now, we got to leave it alone that it's women. But he calls Leah and Rachel and says, come out to the field. They came out to the field, and he explains his situation to his wives. It's wives in here. You got to get the people on your side, on your side. He says, now look, your dad is about to do me wrong, and this is not getting ready to go my way. Are you with me or not? Because it's hard to make a move if your support system ain't with you. Oh, Jesus. This is a word for husbands and wives. You need to be careful in your support situation that you don't talk somebody out of a freedom that God is trying to give them, or a vision that God is trying to give them, or a word that God is trying to give them. Be careful that you don't let your fear speak against your spouse and stop them from stepping out and doing something that God is calling them to do. Oh, I'm going to make everybody clap for that one. Well, what you going to do? How we going to live? Where we going to go? What we going to do? You've been there 20 years. I mean, I just think you should keep working. I mean, really? Why you going to do them like that? That ain't right. And I need to talk to God, and I got to pray, and I got to hear from the Holy Ghost first. And I don't know, and maybe you should stay there. Be careful. Jacob was able to make this move because he had some agreement at the house. I would contend it's hard to be bold with no agreement at the house. It's hard to be bold when the folk who love you the most don't believe in you. I'm going to leave that alone. Elder Clark, he goes to them. He says, are y'all with me? They're like, we are with you. We have seen what has happened. We have seen how our father has treated you. He basically sold us to you. That ain't right. Whatever inheritance we had is gone. And so you move, we move. You go, I go. You do it, I got your back. We are your ride or dies, boy. And if you are moving, just tell us where to go. Not we got to know the plan and what is it and what. No. They said, what is the plan? He said, I got you. Get on them camels, put all the kids on the camels, take our stuff and bounce. By the time they know we're gone, we will be gone. Read your Bible. That's what happened. Genesis 31. You read it for yourself. They left. By the time Laban found out they were gone, they had been gone for days. Matter of fact, Rachel was so salty about it that Rachel took the household gods. Now, I know Christian people have made this, oh, it's about idolatry. Well, I just want you to know these are clearly people that worship Yahweh and clearly worship the Lord. And whether you want to say it's household gods, my sense of it, since I'm looking at this from a business perspective, is that they probably, them things was probably made out of something pretty valuable. Probably made out of some gold, probably made out of some jewels, probably made out of some. She took some statues that was worth something. She figured, yeah, she's a baby. So she figured, yeah, gonna sell me like this. We about to be out. Yeah, not only are we out, but I'm taking something from the house that's really valuable. We gonna sell that later. Hides it in her bags. Laban comes chasing after them. And on the seventh day, seven, my God, on the seventh day, he catches them. But right before he's about to confront Jacob, the Holy Ghost shows up. I want the Holy Ghost to show up for you. I want the Holy Ghost to talk to your boss. I speak that over the whole room. I want God to talk to your supervisor. Right before God shows up and says, now you need to be careful what you say to Jacob. Watch your mouth when you talk to my servant. Be careful what you say to him. And then the Lord goes back to Jacob and says, I know Laban done caught you. Don't worry about it, because I told him that my hand is on you. I told him that my favor is on you. I told him, watch his mouth when he talked to you, because what can man do to you? If God is for you, then who can be against you? And so I want you to know, it looks scary. I know he's here with his armed people, but I want you to know, I already talked to him before he even says anything to you. Laban shows up, says, not only did you sneak off in the middle of the night, took my grandchildren, I would have threw you a party. Can you see? Jacob's like, yeah, you'd have thrown me a party. Whatever, dude, get out of here. You just mad because I left without you knowing. You mad because you done lost your workhorse. You mad because you done lost the one doing all the work for you. You mad because you lost the one that was making your company run well. You left. Oh, yeah, you wanted to give me a party. Yeah, sure, you wanted to give me a party. All right. And not only that, you took my household gods. You took the statues. You took some gold. You took some stuff that was valuable. Jacob says, did nobody take nothing of yours, dude? See, this is how I read the Bible. It ain't dude, but I can't say the other word. I can, but I don't want to. Did nobody take your stuff? How dare you come up here? Somebody took it. As a matter of fact, if somebody took your stuff, I'll kill him myself, not even knowing that Rachel, his favorite, who he worked 14 years for, the fine one, is the one who stole the stuff. Read the story. They come through searching everything. Rachel has the gold, these statues, in her camel saddlebag. She's sitting on top of it. They say, we need to search that. She says, you can't because I'm on my period. Now, I don't know how you look at it, but the way I look at it is the gold is covered with the blood. Oop, I got to move on. You might want to take this, but the blood has covered it. You might be mad at me, but the blood has covered it. You might want this back, but it is covered with some blood. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Pastor Andy done lost his mind. When they can't search and they come out, the Bible says Jacob's mad. Jacob's like, see how you do me? Let me tell you what you did. I worked for you for 14 years for these girls. I worked for you another 6 for this cattle. You changed my wages 10 times. I suffered. I slept outside. You did me wrong. If there was a loss, I bore the loss. You didn't even bear it. I bore it. Somebody came through and ate something. It came out of my side. Now you got the nerve to come running up after me like I'm some kind of criminal and run through my stuff. And if it wasn't for God, or if it wasn't for the fear of the fact that my daddy Isaac is a bad somebody, if it wasn't for that, who knows what you would have done? Have I made it come alive for you? Do you understand? This is a business discussion. And what I started the passage with is Laban's response. Because Laban doesn't say, I'm sorry. Laban doesn't say, my bad. Laban doesn't say, I'm wrong. Jacob says, I've done this for you. I've done that for you. I worked all hard for you. And you got the nerve after 20 years to hunt me down like a thief in the night. You ain't right. And Laban on the other side says, look, little dude, these women are my daughters. Your children are my children. Your stuff is my stuff. Everything you see in front of you is mine. And I'm laying this out to you for you to know that it is absolutely possible for you to decide that what is yours, and Laban not agree. If you think that you're just going to happily, skippily go on about your way and everybody going to be nice, you got another thing coming. Sometimes when you decide what's yours, the other side ain't happy about it. But that's all right. Laban does not agree with him. Laban's like, when I found you scrapping up here, you didn't have nothing. You didn't have no money. You couldn't do nothing. Everything you got from me. I made you. I taught you how to sell. I gave you an opportunity in my company. I'm the one that did that. You get a glimpse into the attitude of Laban. And if you're expecting for God to make Laban like you, you got another thing coming. You got to realize that Laban may never be happy when you decide to get what's yours. Who am I talking? You may have to realize that you may not get a kumbaya moment. As a matter of fact, Laban says, but what can I say with daughters like these? Meaning that he expected the girls to stay on his side. He kind of is looking at the girls. They're who he's really mad at. Because he's like, I thought we had this dude here working for us for free. I thought I'm about to kill this dude. Y'all gonna leave me? So y'all betray. The ones who really betrayed him is the girls. That's why he said, but what can I do with children like these? Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine? He's like, dude, everything you have is mine. Only reason why I'm in this situation is because these girls have sided with you and not me. What am I going to do with these daughters of mine and these children they have born? Meaning that the boys didn't say nothing either. He realizes that they're all complicit in their freedom. He realizes he can't divide them against each other. I need to speak this over your life, because Laban has a tendency to divide people that should be together against each other. Laban likes to put people who look like you on a screen and talk to you and make you think that they are on your side. What really messes Laban up is their unity. That's why he says, what am I supposed to do with daughters like these daughters of mine, and these children that they have born? So let's do this. Let's make a treaty. Let's put a border line here. You go your way, I'll go my way. Mitzpah. May the Lord watch between me and you while we're absent one from another. Did anybody ever go to a church where they closed the church with that, with the benediction? I need somebody to wave at me, maybe on the screens. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. We used to say that till we found out it's not a blessing, it's a curse. It's a curse. It's a, well, I'm gonna go over here and you go over there. I'm gonna go this way and you go that way. Laban says that. Laban says, this heap is a witness. You go that way, do right. I'm gonna go this way and do right. They have a meal, they sleep. The next morning, Laban kisses his daughters and his grandchildren goodbye, and he never sees them again. Because sometimes, beloved, separation is the will of God. Sometimes you got to say goodbye to your oppressor. Sometimes you got to say goodbye to the people that used you. Sometimes you cannot allow any thought to make you stay subservient to someone who has abused you and misused you. Jacob said, yep, kiss your daughters goodbye, kiss your grandchildren goodbye, and peace. See you when I see you. Whoever told you that that thought is not godly, don't know the Bible. Because after this, Jacob wrestles with God. After this, the Lord appears and says, dude, am I your dude or what? Dude, do I have you or what? Dude, do I got your back or what? Dude, are you ready to trust me now? Dude, are you ready to have me on your side? Dude, are you ready to know that I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? I'm the first, I'm the last. I'm the one who was and is to come. And as long as I got you, I told you Laban couldn't do nothing to you, because as long as I got you, you're good. Sometimes chasing after prosperity and blessing, you separate. Sometimes you leave some people behind. I wish I had. Sometimes there's some folk that you're just like, yeah, I don't talk to them that much no more. Sometimes there's people, you get around them, they make you feel guilty. You went on over there and did your own thing. And you just can't be around them that much, because all they want to do is pull you back. May the Lord watch between you and them while you're absent one from another. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he get favor on you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may God bless you so much that you don't miss Laban. May God bless you so much that you don't miss those people. May God bless you so much that even if you have to separate from folk who share blood with you, God will say, that's all right, I got your back. And may God bless you so much, literally around the world. May God do something so powerful for you that nothing can by any means hurt you or harm you. I speak that over everybody in the name of Jesus. May your business go to another level. May your money go to another level. May you walk in a favor that makes you know that God is on your side. May you get your business plan together. May you get your own property. Will you please get your own house and stop paying rent to somebody else and make them rich? Will they be all right about it? Who really cares? Well, I told him I was going to be here 2 years, and I mean, I have a year at least from year to year, but I told him I was going to be here 2 years, and if I leave after this year, I'll break my lease. Whenever somebody says that to me and starts talking that Christianity stuff to me, I want to throw something. I want to say, who told you you were naked? Who told you to feel guilty about a blessing that takes you higher? I'm gonna close with this. I refuse to feel guilty about favor on my life. I refuse to apologize about favor on my life. Come on, somebody clap your hands or say something to me. I'm not apologizing for my favor. I'm not saying sorry for my favor. I'm not hanging around with nobody that's mad about my favor. I'm not gonna be eating at cookouts with nobody that's looking at me funny. I'm not gonna be around nobody. If you don't like it, I guess you don't like it. May the Lord watch between me and you while we are absent one from another, until you can get your attitude together about how God has made a way for me, how God has opened a door for me, how my God is able. Until you get like that, I won't be coming over here. Because you get a little attitude about my blessing. You get a little attitude about my breakthrough. You get a little attitude about my money. Yeah, God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. Yes, God has opened a door that couldn't nobody open and can nobody shut it. And if you mad about it, I guess you just gonna be mad. If you upset, I guess you just gonna be upset. If you bothered by my blessing, I guess you just gonna be bothered, because I know that he worked it out for me. Who am I talking to in here? Who am I preaching to in here? I know God has a way for me. I know God has a door for me. I know he's gonna make a way for me. And I don't have time for Laban. Tell somebody, let Laban go, 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 son, let Laban go. Stop kissing Laban and eating with Laban and hanging out with Laban and cooking for Laban and working for Laban and being around Laban. May the Lord set you free from the Laban spirit that's on your life. We rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together if you're believing God for a miracle. I said, put your hands together if you're believing God for a miracle. I said, put your hands up if you're believing God for a miracle. Right now, if you're thinking, may miracle power flow in my life. May God move over me in the name of Jesus. Can you jump on your feet for just a minute? I just want to pray for everybody. I want to pray for everybody. Everybody just raise your hands in the room and around the world. I just want to believe that favor will be on you. Oh, hallelujah. May favor be on everything you touch. May everything you touch have favor on it. May everything you put your hand to do prosper. May God prosper you so much you don't need Laban no more. May the Holy Ghost break you free. God, break us free. Lord, break us free from Laban. 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 Lord, break us free from the fear. Break us free from the devil. Break us free from the demonic perspective of the ruling class. They lied to us, told us to stay humble and stay slaves. Lord, may a boldness come on us like never before. May a courage come on us like never before. May a power come on us like never before. May we be used by you. And God, I pray right now for deals. God, I pray for accounts. God, I pray for openings. God, I pray for breakthrough. God, I pray right now for everybody under the sound of my voice that a deal will happen this week. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move. God, move. Make a way. Make a way. God, make a way. Make a way. Open a door for somebody this week. Somebody needs a miracle this week. Lord, we trust you.
'Tis so sweet to trust you, just to take you at your word, just to rest upon your promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how we trust you, how we proved you over and over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace. Oh, for grace to trust you more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust you. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me till the end. We trust you. In Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. Can you put your hands together one more time? Can somebody bless the Lord? Can somebody bless the Lord? Can somebody bless the Lord? Can you be seated in the name of the Lord? Anybody hear a word from the Lord today? Before you run out the door, can I get you to sow into that word? Can I get you to sow into that word? Can I get you to give into that word? I can't get a word like this and not sow into it. Can I get you to sow? Can I get you to sow literally around the world? It's popping up. The QR code is popping up. And you can give right now to the work of the kingdom of God. If you need an offering envelope, simply raise your hand. And one of the gatekeepers, I see hands going up, will run to you. If you want to give by way of check, that really is not a bad thing. But the easiest way is for you to download our app, and you do that QR code, it will pop up, and you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge you to sow with the measure you use is measured unto you. And I'm believing God for a miracle in your life. I'm actually believing God for a financial breakthrough in your life. It's not often that I preach, well, it's not going to be the case from now on. It's going to be the norm where I'm going to be talking about the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, forever and ever, amen. And for you to say, all right, I got to throw a hook in that word I heard. God has blessed you. You're believing God to bless you. You're believing God for a breakthrough. I want you to sow literally around the world. Can I get you to sow? Can I get you to join with us? Be a global membership. Be a global member with us for just a monthly donation. You can be a part of what God is doing in us and through us. But world overcomers around the world, world overcomers around the area, world overcomers in every continent, we're believing that you shall overcome someday. God's hand will be on you for good. May the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it be on your life. And that little code right there, all you have to do is just take a picture of it. Just pull your phone up and take a picture of that, and it will pop right up on your screen. You can take a picture of it. It'll pop right up. You can join. You can give. You can be a part of not just receiving, but giving. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Not going to take forever. I know I said I was going to let you go at 12. It's 5 past. So let's go ahead and give. I'm not going to beg you. But out of your love for God, out of your gratitude, and out of your faith in God, I want you to sow. Something I didn't really talk a lot about before, but I'm talking about it now. I never hear a real word and don't sow into it. I mean, it just doesn't happen. If I hear a word for real, I got to sow into that word. I got to activate it with my faith. And a part of my faith is I give. Giving by faith is one of the most challenging things to do, to give believing where you're headed. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray for this offering. God, thank you for everyone that's giving through their phone. Thank you for everyone that's giving through the app. Thank you for everyone that's giving around the world. God, we're believing for a miracle offering right now. We're believing that the offering will inspire a miracle. We're believing, Lord God, for something to come in that is so miraculous that as we move forward with our building project, as we move forward with this land, as we move forward with this vision, we're going to share it on the 5th. And God, as we move forward with it, it'll be easy. May the work be easy. God, you said your yoke was easy and your burden was light. Use us for your glory. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom.
give us power. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. Just last weekend, we had a meeting. You can stand up when the buckets pass you. Just this past Sunday, we had a meeting with a group of our core leaders and one of the faithful women that goes to our church. She's a boomer. I don't want to make the boomers feel uncomfortable. I need boomers at the church too. She came up to me afterwards, and she started telling me about how she has a job that she doesn't really like that much. And I was like, oh, mother. She's like, yeah, I have this job. I don't really like it. And I said, oh, wow. She said, but you know what? She said, as a result of the kingdom, as a result of being here, as a result of the church, you know what? This, my job, I might not like my job, but my job empowers me to give this way. And for, if you have something that you're doing that you don't like that much, can I tell you something? When you give, it makes it all make sense. If you went to school for something and now you're doing it and you don't like it that much, you might like it a bit better if you take it and connect it to the kingdom. There may be another joy in it if, as a result of it, you help us work God's kingdom. She wiped tears. She said, I may not like it, but look at what it's enabled me to do to help build God's kingdom. I would submit to you for your consideration that most Black people in America, and I know not everyone in here is Black, and thank you for coming.
But hey, whatever, Kermit's family, it's your girl Kiera, and I'm so excited for the church we're reopening
around the world
for our new normal services
Baby,
on Sunday. To help keep
most
everyone
African
safe,
Americans
I just want to go over a few safety precautions.
Are descendant from people that did not like what they were doing. I need a witness in the building. Almost every one of the Black churches around our country that were built by Black people, most of the folk who gave to those buildings were more than likely doing a job they did not like. They were yassabossing it, and they were carrying bags, and they were serving, and they were being treated wrong, and they were qualified to work for jobs they couldn't get because of segregation. But they didn't care about that. They worked. They sowed, they gave, and you can drive past them churches right now and see the blood, sweat, and tears of your ancestors who hated their life but loved God. I got anybody like that in here with me today. I might not like it, Pastor Andy, but I love the Lord. I may not like, may not be my favorite thing to do, but I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Jump on your feet with me. Let's go. Be back here next Sunday. I'm going to try to get to what's mine. I'm trying to get to it. Got these 5 points on kingdom power and how to make it make money and make sense. I'm trying to get there. But man, the Lord spoke to us today through Jacob, boy. Ooh. Can't wait till my best friend hears this. So next Sunday, we'll be back here. Don't forget September 5th. Please, for everyone in the room, for everyone watching around the world, September 5th, be prepared. I'm going to share my vision with you, where we're going. We've got about 2 years left on this lease. We're on our way out. About to close on our land. We're on our way out. Come on, you can clap for that. We're on our way out. I'm going to share my vision with you. It's going to be powerful. Come on, let's pray. God, we want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to honor you. We want to bless you. Thank you for what you said to us today. Thank you for this powerful, awesome service. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that destroys the yoke. Thank you for the anointing on Joshua, the anointing on Tam, the anointing on these powerful musicians, the anointing on the pastors, the anointing, God, on your word. Thank you for the anointing on every person under the sound of my voice. Thank you for the anointing on the kings and the queens that are in this room. Thank you for the anointing that's on the millionaires that are in this room. Thank you for the anointing that's on the business owners that are in this room. Thank you, Lord God, that we're believing you for a millionaire anointing. We're believing you for a business power anointing in this room. We're believing you for an anointing on everyone that's watching around the world. We're believing, Lord God, for witty inventions. God, we're believing you now for surprises. God, we're believing you now for all kinds of supernatural financial success. says, on everybody under the sound of my voice. Everyone that's watching around the world, God, take their money to the next level. People that are investing, take it to the next level. Lord God, we're believing you that your favor is on us now. Watch over us and protect us from the things that we cannot see. Wrap your loving arms around us from here to eternity. Lord, we need your anointing so our spirits can be free. Lord, we need you more and more and more and more. I need you more and more. I need you more and more. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. Everyone watching around the world, thanks for being with us today. See you on Wednesday night. Pastor Manny's preaching. See you on Sunday. God bless you.